And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is Saturday, April 17th, coming at you live from, once again, an undisclosed location. We cannot tell you where we're at for legal reasons. Before we start the show, please, if you're listening to us on your phones, please take a screenshot, post it on Instagram stories, tag us at Asian.AsianPod, tell your friends about us. That's how we get new fans. And also, if you're an iTunes listener or if you're listening to this on your Apple Podcast app, please leave a review. They've been slowing down. And we don't like that. Okay, we don't like that here. We want 1,000. We have 780 reviews or something. We want to reach 1,000. Also, if you leave a review, even if you don't like us, give us a 5 stars.
Yes.
Start 5 stars rating, and then it fucks us up when you give us a low rating. We don't like that. Okay,
yep.
Don't be mean.
Don't do it.
Give us a 5, and then
you can trash talk us later, because then we'll end up talking about that, and then give us 5
yes.
stars. That would
yes.
be amazing.
Before we get into the story of the week, quick shout out to our newest Patreon supporters. We're going to try to guess your ethnicity based on your last name. So if you want to get in on this, go to patreon.com/AsianOnAsianPod to hear your name on the show live. First up, we got Jacqueline Vala Rollins. Vala is like Swedish, I think.
Yeah? Huh.
Well, don't they have that word? Valhalla?
That's true. That's true. This is a tricky one. I'm gonna say this person is black. Fuck it. You know what? Just throw it in there.
Do you think this is interesting? Because like Rollins, you just spell like Rollins, but this is like raw, like
Rollins, like, Rollins, like no. like the baseball. You know?
Yes.
You know, so this has a kind. I think this kind of has an American vibe to it. You know that Jacqueline spelled
black.
Not Jacqueline. There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
You're proud. You're a proud black American,
you're
and we love you for
black,
that.
Black woman, and love it. Thank you very much. We do have a lot of black listeners, which is awesome.
It's great. Then we have, this person fucking cheated, and we hate when people do this, but it's not that big of a deal, I guess, because you gave us money. Tiffany E. and Joe Lee. What this
and
person
Joe
fucking
Lee.
Did.
Motherfucker.
What this person fucking did is they're married or something, and they made an account together, okay? You know what I say? You know how married people do everything together?
Yeah.
Don't do Patreon together, okay? Go
separate.
Ahead.
Yep.
You can post pictures together. You can have a kid together.
Yeah. You can file your taxes together, but Patreon should be separate.
Patreon?
Yeah.
No.
It's in the Bible.
No.
But
don't
I think
do
that,
it.
You know what though? I think they're gonna get a divorce because this is. I think Tiffany Yee Chinese, Joe Lee Korean. Okay,
Korean.
That's on the rocks already.
That's on the rocks.
It's a tricky relationship.
A okay, then we have Charity Delmus.
D-E-L-M-U-S. That's a stripper name. Straight
stripper
name.
That's rude. Well. Is it? I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty. I've never met a stripper named Charity. It's usually Chastity.
Oh, good one. Know? Okay,
Charity
you're right.
is like.
You're right.
It's not.
That's a little too.
I don't
far.
Know. Yeah, Charity is more like a dog. I think this is a dog Asian.
I was like, you're right. I went too far. Yeah, I was like, no, this is a dog. Clearly a dog. The dog somehow got onto Patreon and gave us some money. So woof woof to you, sir.
Okay, then we have Fing Lee, P-H-I-N-G Lee.
Sounds
that's probably Korean.
Taiwanese. I'm gonna say Taiwanese.
Taiwanese.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
Then we have N, just
N,
the letter
mysterious N.
Mysterious
that's
N.
That's a sweet name.
You're an anime Asian.
Yes, anime Asian.
Anime
Shouts.
Villain Asian. So thank you so much for donating. Again, if you want to get in this game, go to patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod and we'll get your ethnicity on air. Purely based on your last name. I want to start here today. I want to update y'all on my new job. I told you, some of you guys know that I started writing for James Corden on CBS, and it's my first like real writing job. And I'm every day. It can be kind of stressful because it's like a lot of stuff, and it's my first comedy writing job. It took me like 3 to 4 weeks. Well, my fourth week was on like hiatus, so we didn't really work. But so I guess it took me like 3 weeks to get. First couple jokes on the show, like mono, and it's fucking cool as shit to like
see
your
joke.
Shit
yeah
on air, have somebody else read it, you know. I think a couple episodes ago we were talking about marks, and you were talking about how there's too much distance between the American worker and the product he's producing.
Alienation of work,
right?
Yes.
Well, this is nice because it's pretty direct. You put some shit on the Google Doc
and
he says it in real life.
This is what Marx was talking about, you know?
Yeah, and
Marx
was
always
talking
about
James Corden.
He's talking about James Corden. He was talking about jokes on James Corden. He's like, you know what? Back in the day, we didn't have this, and now we do. So anyway, go ahead.
So it's really nice. It's a good feeling, but the reason why it took me so long to get a joke on there is because I've had to adapt to learn how to write in his voice.
Yeah.
And the first 3 weeks, you know, I had some like stuff in there, but I took a lot of notes on the jokes that got accepted.
Yes.
And I wrote down, I started writing down what kind of jokes get in. So like, I started identifying patterns. That's what I do. I'm an analyst. Yes. I'm an analyst comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like his first joke is always a very quick sarcastic comment on the headline. So it's like, okay, always open with a quick sarcasm, one sentence. And then like every time he talks about Biden, it's he loves the word malarkey. So it's like, okay, always mention malarkey when you're talking about Biden. It's like he doesn't like anything too mean. If you have a joke about how Biden can't speak English, like he doesn't like that. You know, yep. Like so I started writing down notes and stuff, and I finally got one in. But then when I got one in, I looked at the joke and I couldn't even see myself in the joke because this is not a joke that I would ever write for myself.
Yeah.
And it's just so not me. And it was a conflicting emotion because on one hand, I was really excited that he was using my shit. But on the other hand, you know, when you start with stand up and what we do on the podcast, it's very like me,
yeah.
Right? We're just constantly trying to figure out what is our voice, what is our thing.
Exactly.
And then like, when you write for somebody else, you make this creature and you're like, you don't even recognize it. Here's the joke that I wrote that got in, okay? The premise was, this wasn't the first joke that I got in, but this was the first joke that got like the most checks. Because we also get our jokes graded, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
It brings me back to the Kumon days. but the joke that one of the jokes that got in that got a very high mark was the premise is the U.S. and other countries stopped giving out the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Yeah.
Because there were signs that said it may cause blood clots in women or something like that, right? So people stopped giving it. And my joke was, damn it, Johnson & Johnson, you had one jab.
That is so not what Fumi would write.
That's not me. That's not me, dude.
This is... but you know what? I'm kind of proud of you because this is... You know what this is? This is a Midwestern joke.
Yeah.
I knew you had it in you the whole time. You had it in you, Fumi. Channel your inner, like... You know, cargo shorts dad.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I feel you could bring to the show where you should go buy some cargo shorts. Buy some cargo shorts. Start grilling, you know, every morning and then write these jokes.
Yeah.
Because that's a banger.
So I wanted to ask you about it because I know for a while you were a copywriter and now you do something like it, but a little bit more. And two questions I have for you is like, you know, have you ever felt this way about your work, or maybe because it's not comedy, it's not so personal and you don't care? And what I mean by like, have you felt this way is like you make something and you're like, I don't even recognize this thing that I just made. You know, it's kind of like having a baby and you're like, is this my baby? Cause there's this baby's dark as hell. You know, like what is happening right now? I don't know. That
your baby's white as hell. That jab joke was white as fuck. That was a white
joke.
That's funny. I mean, I don't know. I think any time you're a writer professionally, you have to like distance yourself from the thing. I've told you before about like as a any creative writer who's a creative writer who's like paid to do it for someone else, you're just an idea machine. You're just like,
yes,
just crank, you know. And most of it is going to be automatically bad. And even when, you know, I'm sure even the people who are really good at this job who've been there a long time at your show, like most of their stuff doesn't work, or it's not going to get there, or it's really obvious. So that's really, they don't really pay you to be funny. They really pay you to grind, you know?
Yes.
They just say, give me 50 jokes about this bar in Staten Island. And that's tough. That's hard to do because they just want the options. And I think that's what...
They want the options, yeah.
They want the options. And that's why I think so many people end up, you know, either not wanting to do it anymore or quitting or whatever, because it sucks. It's like... It's the salt mine of creativity, where it's just like, get in there and do it. Whereas with stand up, I feel you're grinding, but you're all the jokes you write are like precious to you in some way, because this is something I want to do, right? And you're not like, I mean, you're not putting yourself under the gun of like, I want to have 50 jokes about my Asian mom. you just end up writing jokes about your Asian mom, right?
Yeah, it was stand up. Even the bad jokes that don't make it, they're still my babies. You know?
They're still your babies. And they're your babies. Yeah.
I still think about them sometimes. Like, man, that was a funny joke, but nobody liked it. You know, like it's still funny to me that I wrote it, and it's I still have a good time with it in my head. Whereas, like, you're right. Like for this job, it's like I think, and everybody's. The people who are good at it can just crank out ideas, but you're right. Like they don't all get greenlit. Most of it doesn't. It's like you spend so much time on these pitches to make sure they're funny. At least I'm doing that right now, just because like I don't want to look like a fucking asshole. So like, you know, if I can't write as many ideas as somebody else, I'll at least make sure the three I'm submitting are very funny. But it's like even I'll spend like all night writing, you know, a parody song, a sample lyrics for a parody song, and it goes to the meeting and it gets denied, and it's like, well. It just never sees the light of day. Like it's gone forever.
Yeah, it just disappears.
You know?
Exactly.
And then it's a weird feeling.
And then they go do it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, do it again, but now for the Jonas Brothers or something.
Yes,
it's like,
exactly.
Fuck, you know?
And you're just like, all right. You know, so I think a creative person just needs to like distance themselves from the work. Try not to take it personally, although I end up taking a lot of things personally. And that's kind of your job too, is like if you feel, once you get kind of, you have some leverage on someone, I mean, as far as like seniority or something, you can start fighting for your shit. Like, I don't know if you see other people do that, but like, you know, you can argue like, this is a good idea. This is a really good idea. And this is, or this is a funny joke. You should do this. And this is going to like help the show, or this is going to like grow the company or whatever the fuck you're talking about. Cause like, I think your job too, as a creative person, is to save the client from themselves. I'm sure James is very funny. This is not like a dig on him, but like, you know, he's got his thing and he's looking for someone who can help him like come up with new shit. Because what's the next, you know, carpool karaoke? What's the next thing? He doesn't have time to think about that. And so like he looks for the writers to do that. And, you know, same thing with like, you know, if you're, remember that really bad commercial, that Pepsi commercial with
Kylie Jenner?
Yes. You know, that is what happens if creative people who are there in the room go, yes, everything's cool. Just go for it. Totally not going to be a problem. You know, your job is to save the client from themselves, because these people are like, I went to business school and I have a degree in marketing analytics. They are not creative people and they don't have that kind of thing. So that's sort of what I think it is. But
yeah,
it sucks,
you're right.
With
that Pepsi commercial, it's like, you're right. The marketing company or Pepsi's probably just like, because if you're too analytical about it, it's like, oh yes, Kylie Jenner, 5 million followers, Pepsi, popular product, police, current eventy.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Like, yes. This makes perfect sense. What could possibly go wrong? I see this in my social feed all of the time. Ha ha ha. Everybody loves flowers. What could possibly be bad? You know, we're being completely neutral about it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's where horrible things can happen. So try not to have anything like that on the show, Fumi. Don't pitch any. Okay, James, what you're gonna do is you're gonna go up to a policeman and put a flower in his gun or whatever. I don't know. James would probably be into that. I feel, you know, he could probably make it funny.
I know. Oh my god. But yeah, I feel your struggle, because with the grinding thing, it's like a lot, you know. And
it sucks.
You're always just thinking about, you're always tapped into the internet, and it's interesting. It's definitely like a cool experience. I don't know if I'll be saying this 5 years from now, but like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's at the end of the day, like, I think a lot of stand-up comedians are like, yeah, I just want to write for a show or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Those fucking people don't even realize that when you write for a show, I got there and I was like, oh, this is a job, you know?
This is a job
with real money and real stakes, right? It's the same job that you have and our listeners have. It's no different.
Right.
So
it's
I think a lot of comedians.
Yes. It's just a little bit more risque, you know?
Yeah.
Which that could be fun, but you know.
Yeah, I just think a lot of comedians don't realize that when they're, you know, on stage talking about their fucking hairy ass or whatever it is, you know, like they don't realize that there's like actual responsibility.
That's why stand-up is so cool. It really is. It's you. You're the only one. I mean, of course, you have to make the audience laugh. But even with stand-up, this is kind of like the last point I would want to make with stand-up. We were talking about there's jokes that every joke we write is our baby. And there's some jokes that don't work on stage, but we still love them. There's a couple jokes I have, which I'm like, if I do a show for myself in my mind, I'll tell the joke to myself. I'm like, yeah, that's a funny ass joke, you know?
Okay, wait. Let's both tell each other a joke that you thought was really funny but never worked.
Oh, fuck. I have to think about it.
This is a joke that I wrote probably 6 months into stand-up comedy that I still think about today, and I was reminded of it because last week we had Roy Wood Jr. on, and we were talking about Street Fighter. I don't remember the punchline, but the premise of the joke was that in Street Fighter,
oh yes,
when you play like the tournament mode, uh-huh. The seventh, so there's like eight characters.
Yes.
The seventh person is always like who in the story is considered your rival.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you play as Ryu,
yeah, your Ken.
If you play as Ken, your rival is Ryu.
Oh, Ryu. Right? Yeah.
Because they're like best friends and they like trained under the same master.
Yes.
Right. So it's like me and you. You know, it's like, oh, we have this product. You know, we came up together and now we're like friendly rivals, right?
Yeah.
But when you play as Ryu, Ken's not the rival. It's this other guy from Thailand.
Oh, it's Sagat. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was writing a joke about how like awkward that must have been, like for them, because it's like, because imagine if you're somebody's rival but you're not their rival.
Ken is like, hey, I thought we were rivals. Hey,
yeah,
Ryu, what's going on?
Right,
he chose me.
Yeah, I had an act out of like Ryu being like, hey, like how's it going? You look great. You've been working out, like, you know. It never worked, but I thought that was so funny.
Okay. You know how many, there's so many jokes I've got about Street Fighter. We need to have a stand-up show where we just have Street Fighter jokes.
Street Fighter jokes.
Because yeah. I get it. I mean, that may be an audience of five or so, N yeah. equals five maybe, of us telling jokes to each other. I think that's funny. I can see it as a sketch. Let's write the pilot. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's write the pilot.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good one. That's a good one.
You got one before we move on?
This is more like a joke that like half works, you know. It's like a joke yeah. that I enjoy, but it's half work. So it actually has to do with police brutality, which is probably why it only half
fun.
Works. So yeah, it's funny to me that policemen now wear cameras, but they can still get away with all sorts of brutality, right? Because now it almost seems like policemen are like magicians. You know how magicians always keep raising the stakes, like they keep like binding their hands or their feet and blindfold themselves, but they can still yeah. get away with it? That's what police are doing. Because now it's like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, for my next trick, I'm going to beat up this guy, right? But he's got a camera. She's got a camera. I'm wearing a camera, but I'm still going to get away with murder. You know?
This is so funny. This is really funny.
It's funny. I think maybe people like get like weird out. I mean, I justifiably.
It's just a topic. It's just a topic.
The topic is very touchy, but it's true. It's like we can't get them. Anyways, okay. That was the. Yeah.
We should do like a segment where we tell like we tell an old joke that we love that never
doesn't
worked.
Work. That doesn't work at all.
Yeah. I love that joke, man. But that's the problem. Sometimes it's comedians will like it, and then you get confident and you'll go do it in front of a crowd.
Exactly.
And they're like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
You know what? You know where you lost me when you said tournament edition. I think that like confuses people. You go, wait, what? I've heard of Street Fighter, but I don't know tournament edition. Which one's that? I don't know what that is. Got to keep it simple. Yeah. You know, Mario Brothers, not Mario Brothers. Like, you know, whatever three.
Yeah.
That's the best one. Anyways. Okay.
That's true. Well, that got a little out of control. Listen, we're going to move on to the show. Today we're going to be talking about our bedroom politics. Asian, not Asian.
Yeah, baby.
Asian or not Asian. We want to bring this up because, hey, everybody knows your boy's single. Okay. I've been out there. I actually haven't been doing a lot of dating, but
you know,
it's a little warmer and I felt like I needed to do it. So I went on a date recently. It was like the first online date I ever been on. Mm-hmm. Somebody I met on Tinder or sorry, Hinge. Mm-hmm. And she was Asian. This was an Asian on Asian dating
nice.
Session. And I've never done that before, as you know, Mike.
Yeah. And, really? You've never been on a date with an Asian girl?
No.
Whoa. Really? Oh my God. I mean, no. Just by like statistically, I mean, I thought you would.
I flirted. I flirted.
Okay. I mean,
Right. Like if I meet somebody at a bar or something, or at a
you
party,
flirted,
I'll like flirt.
Right.
But
DM
like
slides.
A date, like hey, date, like would you like to go sometime? That
Got
kind
it.
Of thing. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not gonna give away any information about this person.
Sure.
I don't think she's listening. Yeah. If she is, how you doing? but it was fun. It was fun. So many thoughts. I also, you know. It was my first date with an Asian woman, but also like I don't really go on formal dates like that.
Well, I was gonna say lot. Like, is that like a like I have no idea, you know? But it seems to me that people go on semi dates or quasi dates where like you meet up with coffee or you have a drink at a bar. I don't know if that's a date. I don't know. What did you do?
Yeah, that's a date. That's okay. I mean, we met up for drinks, but we, I guess she doesn't really like alcohol and I don't like alcohol either. So we ended up getting milkshakes. So that was kind of cute.
Very Asian. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I realized that, I got lucky that this girl was like kind of funny and cool because I realized like, I don't even know how to be cool because I don't know. I saw a dead cat on the way to the bar and I opened with that. Mm. Like she was like, "How you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I saw a dead cat on the sidewalk."
Wow.
And then we just talked about dead cat.
Social skills. Just coming in there. And just like, "Hey, how's it going? I came already." You're like, "What? What did you say?"
Yeah. You know what? Maybe it is because I've been quarantined. Because she was like really cute and she was looking so, she like dressed up and everything. And I was like, "Do you see that dead cat? This dead, let's talk about this dead cat."
Whoa.
Oh my God. And then literally like 5 minutes in, we ordered the milkshakes and I brought up my diarrhea. And she was like, "You get diarrhea when you get..."
Wow. I see in the notes in the show here, it says diarrhea issues. I thought maybe it was just diarrhea mouth. No, a literal diarrhea in your pants.
No, too. I was talking about, wow. Because she asked why I got the vegan milkshake.
Gina.
And I was like, I get diarrhea really easily. This is like, I sort of got like 6 minutes into the date.
This is like one of those thing, like one of those shows that like, you know, one of those rom-coms that Gina would watch that would be like, you know, from the girl's perspective, where she's like getting out in the town again and she has to go through like 20 awkward, weird dates. This is one of them. This is one of them.
I'm a montage.
Yeah,
you're one of
the montages of the guy, like, you're just like, "Hey, there's a dead cat and I get diarrhea," and you're just like drinking, you know what I'm saying? And meanwhile, our protagonist is just like, "Oh my God, the men in this town are trash."
Dude, it was wild. And what was so crazy is like, we sat at a table where the line to the bar was, so everybody was like kind of listening in on our conversation. But it was like, I don't think this strategy, if you could even call it that, would have worked with any other girl. But she was like kind of weird, so she like went along with it.
Okay.
Like she was like, "Oh yeah, you can just like poop here," and she like held out her hand like this, and whoa. I was like, "Oh okay cool, like we can do this bit." Okay,
odd.
So we
okay,
talked.
That's perfect. I like that.
It was interesting because we were like, SJ Sun, when she was on this podcast like a year ago or so, she had just broken up with her boyfriend and she was on a mission to date a lot of Asian guys.
Yes.
And she was on a similar mission, except it wasn't just Asian guys. She was just like, "I'm just done with white guys for a little bit." You know, she's taking a break.
Sure.
And I've been hearing that a lot from a lot of women of color. And I was wondering if there's like a romantic awakening happening within the Asian American community right now, because a lot of Asian babes who you might think are dating white guys, they're not right now. You know what I mean?
Word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on here. Did you say that the girl that you were on a date with said that?
She said that.
She did say that.
She was like, I'm going on a break from white guys.
You know, I mean, I feel that so much of humanity. We talked about this in the other episode about you know, racism is a meme. You know, and people just like duplicate the same things over and over again. Ideas like get replicated. And one of the ideas could be that, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to go on a break from white guys for a second because of whatever reason, you know." And that could be a meme, like a dating meme that's out there now, where now, you know, like, I mean, we saw kind of a hot Asian guy meme for a little bit, right? Where everybody was like into hot Asian guys with abs. You know, that was like you know, now it's just kind of out there. And then this could be like, "I'm not dating white guys for a little while" meme that's out there, because I think, you know, the conversation around it is different. I don't want to say it's better or worse or whatever, because I don't want to get into that. But it's now people, I think, are they're going into their pantry and they're going, "What do I really not need? Okay.
Yes.
I don't need paprika or whatever. I don't need Brandon the white guy. I don't need," you know what I'm saying? "What do I," they're just recalibrating in their minds what it is. Maybe they'll eventually go bring Brandon back into the pantry.
Right, right.
But right now they're kind of like rethinking it a little bit. But anyways,
I mean,
it's, yeah.
I mean, we, and it's like, And again, you know, we always joke on here that I don't actually want to date an Asian girl. I just want to major in East Asian American Studies.
Yes,
but
yes.
I wanted to kind of like talk about this like awakening that I'm going through.
Yeah.
And she was like, she kind of met me halfway. I realized not every, I mean, you know, my criticism from my friends is that I talk about race way too much. And I think I realized that like, oh, not every Asian person is like thinking about this all the time. Like right. She was thinking about it a little bit, but it's not like. You know, I brought notes. I was ready to talk pachinko. I was ready to talk sympathizer. You
right,
know,
right.
I was ready to talk Kathy Park Hong. But she was like, "Oh, I don't know any of those people. Like, I don't read any of that."
Oh
like,
my
I just
god,
watched.
You were trying to like bring all these books and shit in there. What a wild date this was. Okay, this guy, I meet him up, and then first thing, dead cat. Second thing,
dead
diarrhea.
Cat.
But then he wanted to talk about books, and he brought books with him, and was like Kathy Park Hong. And talking about the sympathizer and Viet Thanh Nguyen and crying at H Mart. The dude had books. And then he left for a while because I assume he had diarrhea. And what kind of date is this?
Yo.
Your date is
it was,
crazy.
Yeah, we were having a good time. You know, I don't think we're going to meet up again because of the aforementioned
of the
things.
You know, I mean, like, I feel like, hey, man, we're definitely blue belts on the scale of learning about this sort of thing. Because we you know, we're reading these books. I'm reading this big-ass book on Vietnamese history, which is fire. And we're, like, steeped in this, you know. Also, we're comedians, so we're, like, we're in our heads already a lot, you know.
Yeah.
We're, like, explicitly thinking about what the fuck is wrong with us. And I think
right.
For other people, hey, I mean, it's interesting that this girl who sounds very, you know, smart and nice is now, you know, she's going through her thing, but she's still like finding out what that means to her. You know, maybe she's not reading a book
exactly.
about it yet. Right.
Yeah, she's kind of finding out what it means to her, which is like, that's okay, too. You know, I realize like not every Asian person has to be like a revolutionary like the guests that we have on this show. You know, those are fun, too. But like you can take it at. Kind of your own pace, but one thing we talked about is like, you know, I found it interesting that like I have to announce that I'm trying to date Asian women, and she has to announce that she's taking a break from white guys, or like she's trying to date non-white guys. And I'm trying to write a bit about this, but you know, I think one thing we talked about on a Clubhouse thing we did a couple weeks ago is that if you're an Asian person, like no matter who you date, everything is political, right? Mm. Maybe you're a Vietnamese guy dating a Korean woman.
Yep.
You know, it's political, okay?
Yeah.
it's political. Your parents are not going to like that for whatever reason. Hey, maybe you're a Chinese person. Maybe you're a Chinese American dating a Chinese national, and your parents don't like that, right? It's like, it doesn't matter. You're an Asian girl dating a white guy.
There.
People should.
Right.
It doesn't matter. And it's not just with Asians. You know, like a lot of black guys, if they consider they date white women, black women will say shit. And I understand there's a history behind that, and I'm not saying it's not justified to kind of call that out. But I also want to defend those people because I do think white people are fucking everywhere. And if you don't try, if you don't, I swear to God, white people are like, it's like the Fast and Furious movie franchise. You know what I'm saying? Where like, if you are not careful, you're going to see like five, you know, like,
oh, word.
It's
damn.
Right. It's like, if you let your guard down, you know, you already saw five and you're already on a date, you know, like if I go to the park and I'm reading a book and I let my guard down, I look up, there's a fucking Michaela. Okay, and we're on a date. I didn't even know.
I didn't
know. That's how sneaky they are.
I didn't know. Fucking Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, I'm watching.
Yeah, Vin Diesel's there.
Vin Diesel's there, and all of a sudden he's driving his Lamborghini through Abu Dhabi, and I don't know what's going on, but I'm enjoying it because they're everywhere.
All right, Anals, listen up. I know that none of you watch porn, but if you do, this is something you might want to pay attention to. Okay, with everything going on in the world, governments have increased their surveillance. They're using your devices to track your location movements, and in many countries, your internet activity, all for watching porn. You don't want to be literally caught with your pants down. I can't believe they wrote that in here. And one of the best ways to keep your online browsing activities private is by using ExpressVPN. When you use ExpressVPN, your internet connection is rerouted through a secure, encrypted server so you can surf the web anonymously without anyone looking over your shoulder. Look, I know you probably think all you have to do is use incognito mode and no one can see that you've watched every last hentai video on Pornhub, but you're wrong. Even when you use incognito mode, your internet service provider, like Comcast or AT&T, can see every single website you visit. And if you live on campus or use a shared Wi-Fi, your network admin can too. To be honest, that's kind of scary. That's why I use ExpressVPN whenever I go online, and I recommend all of you do the same. If you want to watch porn in a safe environment. Without ExpressVPN, you're giving people a free license to peek over your shoulder and see all the freaky shit you're looking at. So protect your privacy today and get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Visit expressvpn.com/asian. That's expressvpn.com/asian for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/asian to learn more.
Did you know that almost 40% of the United States is people of color, but medical research is 80 to 90% white?
That's crazy. Are you telling me that every time I read side effects on a bottle of pills or something like that, that is based on research only for white people, and they're not really thinking about my petite Japanese body?
That's right. They're not thinking about your tiny, tiny Japanese body, okay? This has serious consequences. In drug trials conducted primarily in the United States, Asians account for less than 2% of participants, but account for 6% of the U.S. population.
Listen, I'm not a scientist, but I know white people and Asian people, we have different bodies. For example, we got different earwax, and I know that makes a difference in my medication.
The All of Us Research Program is the largest and most diverse health resource ever, and is representing all of those groups who have been left out of research in the past. People of color, seniors, rural areas, low income, LGBTQ, etc.
Representation is critical to ensuring that discoveries are inclusive and beneficial across populations. Why should I sign up? They are currently providing 10,000 Fitbits at no cost to select participants. Learn about traits like lactose intolerance, earwax, bitter taste perception, cilantro preference, caffeine sensitivity.
All of Us is free and you do not have to pay for your DNA results.
Be part of the largest health research project ever. All eligible adults over 18 living anywhere in the United States can join. Participation is power. Join to make a difference at joinallofus.org/asiannotasian.
And I'm out the game, you know, but I only dated Asian people because that was who I was surrounded with. And it wasn't as, I mean, there was a lot of white people also, you know, but it was like just not in the circle of where I was. But it may be different, you know, obviously New York, there is like a little bit more of a mixture. Did you meet this person on the apps?
Yeah, I met her on Hinge and I thought she was kind of goofy, so I asked her out and
what made it seem that she was goofy?
Well, initially I just thought she was cute, and then we started talking, and then she was like kind of like a potty mouth, if you will.
Oh,
and
yes.
Like did not match the photos at all, and I thought that was interesting. Potty mouth. Because a lot of her pictures are like her with a cute dog or something like that, and I just thought she was going to be like a boba Asian, you know. Didn't realize she was a dead cat Asian, you know.
So she needs to have instead of the airplane emoji, just a toilet emoji, you know?
A toilet emoji.
Come on, you know? Toilet. That's interesting. Yeah, cuz I was wondering, cuz you had mentioned before you were careful about trying to date, sky miles points Asians, you know, people like who have a lot of travel and who, you know, are all about, I don't know, whatever, like retiring early, you know, talking about.
Yes. I don't know. I thought it was a cool date, you know. We'll see what happens. But like, yeah. There you have it. I went on a date. I did it, folks.
Okay? I did it. You did it. Are you gonna try? I mean, I feel now you should put like a listing out in like the Columbia, you know, graduate school, because I feel you. That's what you really want, you know.
Like the career net.
Yeah. Yeah. Filter by graduate degree requirement and say master's degree or above. And that's who you should date, because I think that's what you really want.
Yeah. Well, another thing I wanted to bring up is like, this is something I've been noticing, and I'm a little late to the apps because I haven't been doing it for a long time. But like a lot of people, and going back to why, you know, white people, I think, are kind of trying not to date white people right now. A lot of white people on these apps, they will put under hobbies or interests, Black Lives Matter and or Stop Asian Hate. Like under interests. And I'm sure they mean well. But I found that odd, to be honest with you. It's to me, it's like missing the mark, because it's like, it's not supposed to be an interest. It's supposed to be like breathing. It's supposed to be like a part of your life.
It's supposed to be like part of who you are, right?
It's just supposed to be like how you live life. It's not it's not something that, it's not a phase, bro. You know?
Yeah, it's not a phase. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think it is. I think, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like people wear it as a badge sometimes. And some people get really passionate. Like I was talking to this one girl and I asked her about it. And she was like, I'm like Someone was like, yeah, I'm almost too passionate about it, and my parents think I'm weird. Like, this, I don't know. She said that, and I was like, I don't know. Like, are you flexing? Because yeah. you believe that people's lives are have equal yeah, value? Exactly. Yeah, like, I was trying to understand it. You know, again, I didn't go in with, like, a judgy comment. I was just, like, truly trying to understand, what do you mean by Black Lives Matter as a hobby? What the fuck? You have it next to ping pong. Please tell me what the fuck that means.
Yeah, I think it is weird that it's under interest. And I think that's, like, the tricky thing. Because interest should be, photography, you know, sailing, you know, like riding motorcycles or whatever, right? It shouldn't be also one of these things. I feel if anything, it should be, I don't know if they have these, like a toggle that you have, you know what I'm saying? Where you're like, you know, smoking or non-smoking, you know what I'm saying? It should be one of those things where it's like more an intrinsic level of what you should do. Because I think sometimes, you know, it's a weird thing in our world where we do have to sometimes say things out loud. You know, the pronoun, like, people put pronouns in their emails.
Yes.
You know, and I recently started doing that for my work emails, and somebody explained it to me, because I didn't know why people did it, you know. And I'm all about you know, trans rights, and I think that's super important. But somebody explained it to me that, you know, if you put your pronouns into the email, then it normalizes talking about pronouns. And so then someone who may not have, like, a quote unquote normative pronouns, they're going to be more comfortable, and it's more normal for them to say, hey, my pronouns are, you know, she, her, or they, them, or whatever. Because then it's just normal, like normal to say what your pronouns are. And I was like, oh, okay. You know what? It made sense to me why it's important, because then it's like, hey, I'm doing someone a solid. You know, hey, you know, you need me to do a solid. I got you. It's nothing for me.
It's a love deed.
It's a love deed. It's all I got to do is put the, you know, he, him. Hey, who? It's obvious, because look at my swag. I got he, him. But you know what? I'm going to put he, him in my email so that it's more comfortable for someone else. That's tight. I'm down with that. You know, so I think there is some value to having things like that, you know, stop Asian hate. It is, but it is strange, because, you know, if you feel like it should just be just a normal thing, but some people aren't down with it, which is weird.
Well, I didn't select that under my interest, and I'm like, should I do that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, does it make me weird that I don't have stop Asian hate and Black Lives Matter? But that's a great point about the pronouns thing, because as a straight dude, I'm just like, why do I need to do it? But it's more like you're doing it for the world. It's not.
Yeah,
really
you're
for
doing
you,
it for. You know? Yeah, exactly. Not for
also,
you.
Also, I realize now it's kind of like the opposite effect of a Confederate flag. You know how, like, a lot of people make jokes about how Confederate flag lets a black person know where not to go. Where it's like the he, him
exactly
lets you know that you're cool. Like, you're thinking about trans people. You know.
Yes, exactly. Like, and you hope that when, you know, you have a Black Lives Matter sign outside, that it's like, it's cool, it's like a cool space, you're cool to come in here or whatever, or even conversely, if you're not into that, then get out of here, because, you know, we don't want any racists around or whatever the fuck it is. But it does seem strange, because you know to your point, it should just be the default, you know, like everybody should be like. But, you know, there's a lot of dating. We've heard a lot from especially our gay Asian male friends where they say, like, no Asians, or no, you know, whatever, or things like that, and they just straight up put that in there into their bio.
You're right
they straight up put that into their bio. So then maybe you do need to put, you know, stop Asian hate in there to counteract the people who are like, no Asians,
right?
Which is
you're right.
Which is crazy.
They're both crazy. They both don't feel right.
Yeah,
but
they
maybe
don't feel right. You know,
it's the options that we have right now. This is the world we're dealing with. You guys, when I was a baby, my mom used to feed me, but also she used to wipe my butt, and that is why we need to return the favor to my mom specifically with the perfect gift for Mother's Day from Hello Tushy. Bring your mama into the future with the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and will help stop flushing her retirement down the toilet in TP cost. Haha. Hello Tushy 3.0 cleans butts like a champ. But it doesn't stop there. Really? It cleans itself. Whoa. With the smart spray. That's trademarked. Automatic self-cleaning nozzle. When we say anyone can put this shit together, we mean even your parents. Yes, yours. Hello Tushy 3.0 attaches to their existing toilet with no electricity, extra plumbing, or tech support, FaceTimes, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%, so the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in a few months. Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Mom already got a Tushy on her pop. Blow her away with an upgrade to the new Hello Tushy 3.0. If she's new to the revolution, have her join millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now for a clean butt with every flush. Give the gift of clean butts. Go to hellotushy.com/ANA to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/ANA for 10% off. hellotushy.com/ANA. Well, you know, speaking of awkward racial interactions,
yes.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Shall we move on to our race news?
Okay, so this one, I saw this coming because this is kind of like in our world. You know, this is our scene, I guess you could say. But I'm going to read this from Gothamist. How Andrew Yang got caught laughing on camera at a comedian's misogynistic joke. I'm going to read from this article. I don't necessarily agree with everything that was happening, but, you know, on Monday evening, Miles Toe, a 26-year-old comedian, and several friends were lingering outside of The Stand, a comedy club near Union Square, in hopes of getting a glimpse of Dave Chappelle, who was performing that night. Instead, he and several of his friends recognized Andrew Yang. They immediately began joking with the mayoral candidate who had come to support and watch Chappelle and actually introduce him on stage, which that was a weird thing. We'll talk about that too. And Toe asked Yang if he would be willing to be on a video with his friends and fellow comedian Lawrence Reese, who does Man on the Street interviews that he shares on the internet. And then if you watch the video, basically what happens is Miles does this... asks Andrew Yang a very, what I would call a comedian question, right? It seems it's like a very comedian question, and it has to do with, do you leave your boots on while you're having sex? That's really what it comes, that's really kind of,
yeah,
what,
he said I mean, we can fucking say what he said on here.
Okay, go for
he
it.
Said, do you, it's like he said, like, do you fuck with the, do you leave your, he's like, do you fuck with the, with your Tim's,
yeah, is
on
it, or yeah, is, like it, that. Is it okay to leave your Tim's on?
On right. While you're fucking, oh, that's right. They said, right. He said, is it okay to leave your Tim's on while you're fucking bitches? Is what,
right,
is
yes,
what he said.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
So,
yes.
He, you know, Yang, you know, hey, if you listen to the podcast, we're not like super big fans of him. We're not like necessarily ultra haters, but I'm not like, you know, jonesing for him. Although, hey, if you're listening, Andrew, please come on the show and convince me, convince me why I should vote for you. But
convince me why I should keep my boots on.
so this video.
How did he react?
So what happens is Andrew Yang kind of like has a nervous laugh, and then he goes, well, it's all about consent, is it? And ha ha ha, you know, Andrew Yang. And then he kind of just like leaves, right? Yeah, Yang replies, I think it's purely up to your partner, right? He then puts his hand on Reese's shoulder, and then I guess Reese is saying this. Excuse me. So. It keeps going. It gets.
Yeah, he asked, and he goes. What do you mean? Because Andrew Yang doesn't know
what you're talking
Tim's.
About. He doesn't know what Tim's
right?
are. Yeah, I don't think.
So then he clarifies, and then he goes, oh, and he kind of laughs and walks away, and then he asks another question. The comedian says, "Do you choke bitches?"
Yeah,
and then that's when Andrew Yang does the "Okay, cut this scene" like gesture.
Oh.
But he's like laughing, and that's where the video cuts.
Right.
And a lot of people are upset because, listen, is this, sure, this, I'm sure this is the thing that people say on the street sometimes. The question in itself may be funny in certain contexts. I don't know. But I think the issue is that he's running for mayor. Right?
Yes.
He's running for mayor.
True.
And like, why didn't, it's kind of like there's a kid and there's a mayor and the kid's being inappropriate. And if you're going to run for the mayor of New York fucking city or state, sorry. You know, he should have at the very least been like, that's not funny, I don't want to participate in this. But instead he just kind of laughed, like, as if, you know, the video kind of reminded me, I have mixed feelings about it, because like, yeah, he's a mayor, he shouldn't be doing stuff like that, and he really should have condoned it, because politicians, you got to watch your image. But at the same time, this is who Andrew Yang is, right? Like, I mean, like, I saw this video, and I swear to God, like, I don't know, if you had picked, if you, 18-year-old Fumi, if you put me in a situation, I probably would have reacted the same way. I probably would have been like, whoa, what the hell is this? And kind of, like, laughing to kind of keep the peace, you right. know, like, just kind of going along with it, because I don't agree, but I don't necessarily disagree. I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just laughing, because everybody's laughing, like, just kind of letting it go. And I truly feel like if you just put... If you can go back in time, if you had a science experiment, you can go back in time and you replaced Andrew Yang with 100 regular Asian guys, straight Asian guys. I feel like 80 of them would react the exact same way.
I mean,
and I feel yeah. maybe that's why he's so popular, because people see yeah. themselves in him.
That's a good point. I think you absolutely hit it on the head. That's this interaction is everything, which is why people like and also don't like about Andrew Yang, is that he is yeah. not polished. As a
yes,
you know,
yes.
as a dude, he's not like coming in there and going, "Hello there, yes, please give me your scripted joke that I have pre-approved, and I will give you appropriate laughter." Ha 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 ha. You know, this yeah, is a very yeah. real interaction. I yeah. don't, you know, I think he's not laughing because he's totally cool and jiving with all these comedians. I mean, he's like nervously laughing, ha ha. You know, like this is
he's
an
nervously
awkward,
laughing. Yeah.
This is an awkward situation.
He's just trying to be nice,
and he's leaving. Yeah. He's leaving. I get it. You know. So it's very real, and that's all, but that's sort of the thing too, is that this non-polished that he has is also kind of showing us that he's so inexperienced. He'll just walk into something like this. You
yes,
know, like
yes.
I feel you and I know not to walk into something like this. I'm like, yo, no, a whole bunch of random like, people want to ask me questions. No, thank you. You know, like
right.
And I'm a little also, I'm not really that mad at the comedians who are doing this, because this is really what they do. You know, comedians are here to ask you inappropriate questions. You go to a stand-up show, the first question, if you're in the front row, fairly good chance that the comedian is going to be like, hey, you fucking... or whatever. Or he's going to ask you this question that, you know, hey, is it cool to keep having sex with your Tims on? That's like such a comedian thing, because it's there. It's not a real question. It's really to get a reaction.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't. It's not. No, nobody's at home wondering.
Yeah,
like
nobody,
doing equations. Should I keep my Tims on?
Should I keep my
Tims
on? This is not. This is like a weird open micer joke that you do in order to kind of get things going, right? In order to get people go whoa, right? But Andrew Yang like totally walked into this ambush of like,
yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, you know, like you gotta be, what these guys need is a comedian bodyguard. Okay. You know how, there's regular bodyguards who are like pushing people out of the way, you know, jumping in front of bullets. You need a comedian bodyguard like me or Fumi, who's going to be in there and goes, no, get out of here with the open mic joke. Get out of here.
We put those like Bose soundproof headphones on Andrew's ears.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't listen to anything they're saying.
Don't listen to anything. Yeah. Don't laugh at anything. Boom. And we're just like jumping in front of the punchline. Ha!
Yeah. I mean, I think I know some of the criticism is the misogyny. He's like laughing at it. I totally agree. But I think, you know, equally what's scary is like his inexperience, that he would just do something like this.
Imagine if he had
the national spotlight. Imagine how many more mistakes. I mean, is he just answering anybody's questions? Like,
yeah, anyone can just
what
walk
if
up
I
to
just
him?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, damn, has like, I feel like he doesn't even know what DMs are, but if he did, like, I feel like he can get in way more trouble. He's just out there answering people.
I'm just realizing,
you know,
what if he, like, I mean, he's probably in control of his own DMs. And somebody might be sending him like a peach emoji and he's just liking it. You know? That looks bad.
Yeah.
Like,
that's like,
gonna be
like
bad.
A 13-year-old girl sending a peach emoji and he's like, looks good.
Looks good.
You
know? I love peaches. I love juicy peaches.
Yeah,
he's gonna, he's gonna be like, I love juicy peaches. Would you like to meet up and talk about it? Because him, in his mind, he's innocent. I mean, I don't think he's down with his misogyny and for sure I get it. It's not that part's not funny, not great. But In Andrew's mind, he's just like, yeah, you know, like, I'm just going to, you know, he wants to just be liked so much. That's really what this is, you know, which is, again, what I think a lot of people find endearing, you know.
If you're listening and you're in New York, please vote for Andrew Yang. I didn't know that the elections were coming up.
Oh, by the way, did you know he's in the lead by far?
I read that.
Among Democrats.
By the primary.
Yeah.
I think the second runner-up is like 13 points. He's at 24 points or something like that.
Yeah, he's like crushing it. But I think, honestly, again, if you like Andrew Yang, you're going to see this and like him even more, you know?
That's what's a little scary is, like, I'm not. I know we have some Andrew Yang fans. Don't get mad, okay?
I'm not.
I haven't done the research. I'm not saying we hate Andrew Yang. Well, I'm just saying this is what I think. I do believe there are Trumpy elements to him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In that he does stuff like this. He does stuff like this, and it's good for him. Whereas other politicians, like this would destroy Nancy Pelosi, right? This would destroy.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Any other politician just doing their job the right way.
This would be a very bad interaction. But for him, it's
Trumpy in the way that it benefits him a little bit. You know, not as much as Trump because that guy was wild, but like. Yeah, like if he saw a video of Andrew Yang like rapping at a karaoke and accidentally drops the N-word, I feel like
he would do that. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know he would be rapping completely out of time. You know, and the only word he actually gets is the N-word.
Yeah, the song is over. And he's just saying it.
But people are like, "Yo, man, that's exactly what me and my boys do."
I feel like some people would like that, and that's what's so scared to me about Andrew Yang. Is this aspect.
I get it. You know, because again, he's just him. You know, you don't feel like he's like hiding anything, which is, you know, sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes you need to hide some shit, but you feel like you're getting the full Andrew Yang effect experience.
Yeah.
Every time he's out there, every interaction he has is just like no filter Andrew Yang, just out there, just saying stuff. No, weird things happening. So anyways, if you're if you guys know him, please tell him to come on the pod so he can explain himself.
We should have him do a whole episode about this.
Explain yourself, Andrew Yang, and convince me why I should vote for you.
That was our episode, Anals. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know what you thought about this Andrew Yang fiasco, or maybe it was a celebration if you're a fan, you know, who knows. I'm not judging, you can be, I don't give a shit. But listen, we love hearing from you, so please add us on Instagram at asian.asianpod. We're also on there at the Fumi Abe. That's thefumiabe,
and you can catch me on Instagram at nice pants bro.
Please check out our Zoom stand-up comedy show that we'll be doing. It's every other week. The next one's gonna be 30th, and the one after that is May 14th. And join our Patreon. We do these monthly hangs where we just kind of shoot the shit and get to know our fans. So if you like us, please go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod and give us your money.
Asian Comedy Festival, you can get tickets for that by going to asiancomedyfest.com. It's going to be a streaming thing, so there is going to be some live elements to it, but tickets are a little tricky to get, but you can definitely get streaming tickets by going to asiancomedyfest.com.
Yeah, check that out. We'll both be there doing stand-up.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's it. Anals, this was fun. Just the boys today. We hope you're well.
Da
and next week, we'll be back with another guest. So we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.